Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and through the internet deliver it to you. My name is Reverend Todd Laddick, and today I'm bringing to you part 7 of an 8-part series entitled Through the Valley, with today's message specifically entitled Lament and Action, based off of Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 48. So let us dive into the Word today. But as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. How I wish today that all of you people would understand the way to peace. But now it is too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close in on you from every side. They will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not recognize it when God visited you. Then Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out the people selling animals for sacrifices. He said to them, "The scriptures declare, 'My temple will be a house of prayer,' but you have turned it into a den of thieves." After that, he taught daily in the temple. But the leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the other leaders of the people began planning how to kill him. But they could think of nothing, because all the people hung on every word he said. Amen. While facing reality can sometimes cause us great pain and sorrow, Jesus shows us how this important step can lead us to necessary God-seeking action. In the crowded alleyways of Calcutta, amidst the cries of the destitute, stood a woman whose small stature belied her immense courage and compassion, Mother Teresa. Born Agnes Gonje Boyajou in the Ottoman Empire in 1910, she embarked on a journey of service that led her to the slums of India, where she founded the Missionaries of Charity in 1950. Yet her path was not without challenges. Within the church, some questioned her unorthodox methods and criticized her for focusing on the material needs of the poor rather than solely on spiritual matters. Besides, the streets of Calcutta was no place for a woman. Despite facing resistance from certain quarters, Mother Teresa remained steadfast in her belief that serving the poor was an essential expression of faith. Outside the church, societal norms posed another set of challenges. Mother Teresa defied the caste system by embracing the untouchables, or Dalits, as they are known in India, and treating them with dignity and respect. In doing so, she challenged deeply ingrained prejudices and faced harsh opposition from those who sought to maintain the status quo. Yet amidst these threats and challenges, Mother Teresa's commitment to love and compassion never wavered. She continued to serve the poor with unwavering dedication, shining a light in the darkest corners of society and inspiring others to join her in the fight against injustice. Sometimes our commitments, even in church, do not reflect Jesus' ways and leadership. What would Jesus lament if he came to our church today? What would he do if he came to our community? Today's passage comes immediately after Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, verses 29 through 40, as we see, and the classic Palm Sunday reading. That's what that is. That's the classic Palm Sunday reading. Friends, on Palm Sunday, we see a contrast between Jesus and Pontius Pilate and the Roman leaders, between two kingdoms and two leadership styles. The lament in verses 41 through 45 reveal Jesus' priorities and the true condition of the city. Jesus values the true peace, as we see in verse 42, that comes from recognizing God and following in God's ways, as we see in verse 44. For example, prioritizing prayer, as we see in verse 46. Jesus laments the absence of this true peace in the city, and especially in the temple. Let's contrast this with what we now call the Pax Romana, or the Roman peace of the time, which, though peaceful and orderly in terms of conflict or war and the economy, was the result of Rome's oppressive empirical power, often enforced through violence. What do I mean by that? Well, let's look at Jesus. In 5 days from today, Jesus will be crucified. Why? Because he was seen as disrupting the peace. That is how the Roman peace, the Pax Romana, was enforced. As with all the lament we have encountered over the last several weeks, Jesus' lament here is truth-telling. By telling the difficult truth, Jesus moves to a turning point, a time of decision that leads to action. The lament of verses 41 through 44 leads to the righteous action of verses 45 through 46. But the words but in verse 42 and because in verse 44 signal this turning point and the connection between what Jesus sees and says in verses 41 through 44 and his actions in verses 45 through 46. The righteous action that follows from Jesus' lament is a disruption or cleansing of the temple. In fact, according to John Dominic Crossan, a scholar, the cleansing could be seen more of a symbolic destruction of the temple. Now, it is not Jesus' purpose to harm or destroy the people. Jesus is condemning the actions, not the people. He is lamenting their self-destruction. As a visionary, Jesus sees and knows what the people cannot, do not see, and know. That by allowing the temple to become a marketplace, they're on a path to self-destruction and doing harm to their relationship with God. Now, it might seem like Jesus' action here contrasts with the peace of which he speaks in verse 32. However, disruption and action they're not the opposite of peace. Sometimes it is necessary, for the sake of real peace, to disrupt, to take action and disrupt. Notice Jesus' intention was to restore their prayer lives, as we see in verse 45. After Jesus cleanses the temple, he is able to start teaching the people in verse 47. Now, we don't know exactly what he was teaching, but we do know that people were drawn to what he had to say, as it says in verse 48. And when the people are informed and empowered, those conspiring against Jesus couldn't do anything, as we see in verse 48 as well. For those of us in leadership, in visionary roles, that is often the role, to create a space where people can learn and be empowered. The cleansing of the temple had to happen for that kind of space to be created. This is important to remember. Jesus didn't come as a new political leader. He came to speak of a different kingdom, God's kingdom. His power was transformative. He wanted that transformation to happen deep within, rather than for people to just blindly follow authority. The transformation or cleansing was first and foremost of the religious space, where people thought they knew what God wanted. Also note, the Romans still did what Jesus said they would do. As a matter of fact, they completely destroyed the temple in 70 AD. Jesus' lament and righteous action, the temple cleansing, didn't prevent the destruction of the temple, nor did it prevent Jesus' death. But it was about making a point about who people were spiritually, about their spiritual lives. Now, some questions this could lead us to ask include, who are we in the midst of our lament? Does our lament or truth-telling lead us to righteous or godly action? And if so, what is it? How does it serve or empower people? And will we have the courage to take righteous action even as we face powerful forces, even though we may not, quote, win, end quote, in the eyes of the world or in opposition to those forces? Keep in mind, Jesus didn't come out looking like the winner as he hung on the cross. Now, we know the end of the story, but those people then and there didn't. They thought they won out. The story shared earlier about Mother Teresa reflects the transformative power of courageous action in the face of lamentable injustice. It portrays Mother Teresa who, despite facing immense challenges and threats, chose to confront oppression with unwavering courage and compassion. Her actions not only alleviated suffering, but also inspired others to join in the fight for justice and equality. When I visited the tomb of St. Thomas in India, there was a statue of Mother Teresa next to John Paul II. The church had finally embraced her and her service to the poor, acknowledging the importance of social justice in Christian mission and ministry. Reflecting on this story prompts us to consider how it affects us personally and as a community of believers. It challenges us to examine our own responses to injustice and to reflect on the ways in which we can emulate the courage and compassion demonstrated by those who have gone on before us, those such as Mother Teresa. As individuals, it encourages us to step out of our comfort zones, to speak truth to power, and to take action in solidarity with the marginalized and oppressed. As a pastor, I'm challenged to embody the spirit of courageous action in my own life and ministry. I'm called to speak truth to power, to advocate for those who are marginalized, and to lead by example in the pursuit of justice and reconciliation. I hope that I have lived that example out for my congregations, even if imperfectly. Courageous action leads to a space of healing, peace, and learning, such as Jesus created by challenging systems of oppression and fostering reconciliation and restoration with neighbor and with God. Just as Jesus confronted injustice and stood in solidarity with the marginalized, so too are we called to follow in his footsteps, working towards a future marked by healing, peace, and justice for all. In my own life and ministry, I have lamented the prevalence of poverty, inequality, and discrimination in our community and world. This lamentation inspires me to action, to support marginalized communities, and to work towards building a more just and compassionate society. I've done this here in the church and also out in the community wherever I serve, in Rotary at municipal meetings or other community partnerships I have been a part of. Friends, both new and seasoned disciples may be tempted to skip over lament, since popular culture emphasizes instant self-fulfillment and quick fixes. But in lament, we can more clearly define the problem and the pain it causes. Understanding the problem, especially on an emotional level, is a necessary first step to action. Let me also emphasize that once we understand the problem, we can first lament it, and second, we can envision a future marked by healing and peace. There are times, friends, there are definitely times when we don't want to address situations that are destructive, or we don't even see them as destructive, even in church. Friends, how can we shift from destruction, defensiveness, insisting on our own way, to lamenting alongside Jesus, to listening to the truth he makes clear to us? How can we face and name the truth, not just to name it, but to make needed change or take needed action? Remember, it is one step at a time. We cannot change everything at once, but we can do something. We can take one step, trusting in Jesus to help us each step of the way. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you and praise you for this opportunity to be here, to be worshiping you, to be listening to this message that you are inspiring us with, and to hopefully come out of this more equipped and prepared to serve you faithfully despite the challenges that come against us. Give us the strength to do so, so that our lament may also lead to action. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And friends, I want to thank you for tuning in and remind you that we are called to be the church. That's what we're called to do. And so I hope that this message inspires you to live into that call. But I also want to remind you that we do have episode notes for you to check out. And in there are links to our giving pages. If you are able to give, that would be a blessing to us. If you aren't, that is fine. These messages are for you and for your own spiritual growth and nothing more. But if you are able to give, that would be a great help to us. Remember that you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. Go in peace.